Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to talk to you this morning about don't give up on the promise. Don't give up on the promise. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 18, he says, but as God is true, our word towards you is not yes and no. We didn't come with maybe, maybe not. He said, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and by Silvanus and by Timothy, was not yes and nay or no, but in him was yes. For all of the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So Paul's just telling this church, we didn't come to you with maybe, with God might and he might not. The Jesus we preached among you is a yes Jesus. He's a yes Jesus. He's not a no Jesus. And the promises are not hit and miss. They're yes and they're amen. Amen. But many of us, myself included, have been tempted in times past to give up on the promise of God. And we're going to talk about that this morning and what Jesus said about that. Because God's promises, he's not a man that he should lie. Help me know that. Amen. You know, I love it. Joshua says, every good word that the Lord spoke has come to pass. Not any of it has failed. Yeah. You know, failure is on our part, right? That's right. God's not a failure. How many know that? Amen. You know, but you got to have some, persistence in you, some tenacity. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, I must have been about five. We were living in Carmel, Indiana at the time. It was around Easter. And Mom made a bunch of Easter eggs. They didn't use plastic in those days. We didn't have them. You had to actually make real eggs, you know, hard-boiled eggs. And I don't know how you would collar them, but Mom did it. And she made a critical error. She told me how many she hid. And I think she did maybe 20. I can't remember now for sure. But I found every one of them but one. And you had to know me as a kid. I'm a lot different then than I am today. And today I'm just a lovable little fuzzball. But in those days, I'd get in fights with the neighbors and things like that. Not the grown-ups, but the kids and stuff like that, and torment and cause problems. And was just tenacious. I wouldn't quit. And so she later told me what she did years later. She said, I had to go back in the house, make another egg, and go out and hide it someplace you could find it. So you'd give up. So that worked. But have you know, God's not hiding his promises from us. Amen. Amen. And when we find one, sometimes we have to be a little tenacious for it to come to pass. Amen. We had to have some stick-with-itness. I don't know if that's a word or not, but we'll use it. Some stick-with-itness. You have to just stay with it sometimes. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that because, and we'll see this in the scriptures here in just a minute. But it's not because God is like withholding anything from us, but we live in a fallen, broke world, amen, where there's demons. And then sometimes we get in the way. And sometimes we have to change a little bit. You understand, before God could prosper you like he'd like to, the biblical prosperity, you'd have to have your soul right. See, that's what the Bible says, prosper even as your soul prospers. In other words, if you're not ready for it, it would be a derelict of God's parental duties in giving you something that's going to get you in trouble. There's a good reason why you don't give your 8-year-old the car keys. It's not that you don't want them to drive. It's not that you don't love them. They're just not ready yet. Right. Amen. Right. And so, you know, I'm not sure they're always ready when they're 8, when they're 16. But, there's reasons why you don't do things. There's reason why you don't leave your inheritance to your 11-year-old. Man, he'll do things with the money unless he's exceptional that's going to cause problems. Amen? You may not want to leave him to a 50-year-old. Amen. It just depends on how mature they are. See, I've often said if there's a lot of people, if they had enough money, they'd get out of the will of God for their life because they could afford to do it now. Right? And it's not that God doesn't want you blessed. It's just he can't. You got to grow up into your inheritance. Let me know that. The Bible talks about, you know, when you're young, when you're a child, you're not ready for your inheritance yet. You gotta grow. Amen. And I do a teaching, I haven't done it in years, on the spirit of adoption, what it means to be adopted. But Western adoption is different than Eastern adoption. Eastern adoption, you were adopted as a son. You were the father's son, but you were adopted as his son, and you got all of his inheritance when you grew to a certain place and you were ready for it. How many know the one prodigal son, he was not ready for the inheritance, right? Both of them had problems. The one son wasn't ready for it. The other son never took advantage of it. Both were bad. But the thing of it is you have to grow into these things. You have to grow into the promises sometimes. And sometimes we're just not ready for everything we think we might be ready for. If God was to do certain things in our life or promote us or bless us in certain areas, it would get us in trouble. It's not that he doesn't want to do it. He does want to do it. But he's more concerned about our character than he is about our comfort. Come on, help me preach somebody. He wants you blessed. But he also wants you to have some character about you. And that is why our parents, and maybe your parents did, they taught us the value of working. You know what I'm saying? Because you just get everything handed to you. It doesn't put character in you. Amen. Amen. I've been on jobs. You say, well, you pastored all your life. Well, that's work, brother and sister, if you do it right. But I've worked natural jobs, and some of those, they weren't pleasant. But you know what? You need that experience. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, I appreciate about some leaders you see, some their kids are a mess and some their kids aren't. And when I see that, I know something about that leader, that political leader, that he's got good character and quality about his life. Yeah. Amen. I love it. One time years ago, it was when President Trump was first running for office. Well, not first time, but when he first became president, he was running then. And they had his son, Don Jr., on a political show. And they asked him, said, what's the greatest lesson you've ever learned from your father? He said, when he tells you to go get him a Coke, you better go do it. Amen. You know what I'm saying? And you can tell by his children, he just didn't hand them everything. They had to work for it. Why? That's not being mean. That's building character. Right? That's building character, and God wants us to have character. How many know that? All right. Let's go in our Bibles to Luke 18. We want to get into the meat of this morning. Luke 18, go there. Because I want to talk to you about this morning and put this over to you, that you have to be persistent with pursuing the promises of God. You can't give up. If the devil can wear you out of it, he'll do it. If he can talk you out of it, he'll do it. But you've got something inside of you that's greater, amen, than he is. Amen. Now, Luke 18, verse 1, this is Jesus here. It says, Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end or for this purpose. This is the purpose of this parable, that men ought to always pray and not faint. Not give up, not lose heart. He said, saying, there was a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me. And that word trouble means that she harassed him. She vexed him. It actually means gives the meaning of being beat under the eye. In other words, this lady was an annoyance. Listen to what he said. Because this, I don't do this because I fear God or man, but because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, listen to what Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. He wasn't going to do anything for this woman. But he realized, this woman's never going to leave me alone. And just to get her out of here, off my case, I'm going to give her what she wants. Now Jesus said, hear that. Hear what the unjust judge said. See, what are we seeing here? This woman wouldn't give up. This woman, now here's an important thing. This woman would not take no for the answer. Because Paul said the answer is already yes and amen. Not no. So this woman wouldn't take no. No's not the answer. The judge is saying no. But she's saying, that isn't good enough. That's not the answer. Come on, are y'all with me this morning? See, he's given us this parable to learn some things here about prayer, about the promises, amen, and about receiving. Now, verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? See, God's not the unjust judge. God's not the unjust judge. Verse 8 says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, even though God's not the unjust judge, even though God will avenge them speedily, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? And one translation says, this kind of faith on the earth. See, what's Jesus saying? Jesus isn't saying, God, you have to talk God into giving you something. But he is saying this, there's times you have to be persistent. Not because God's unjust. God, he said, God will do it speedily. So if it isn't happening speedily, it isn't God's fault. You understand that? See, we had a man in this church. He now pastors his own church, but he came here and he told me I could tell this story. He actually said I could use his name if I wanted to. But he came here for a number of years. He worked in the ministry of helps. He was faithful. And then one day he felt like the Lord was calling him to start a church. And so I prayed over him and blessed him because, you know, he'd done everything right as a student of the word, you know. But he told me, he said, Pastor, I had this issue in my back, this pain in my back. And he said, it just would not go away. He said, you know, I mean, he's seeking God and standing on the promise of healing. And he said, it just would not go away. He said, so one day, he said, I said to the Lord, he said, Lord, you got to show me what's wrong here. It's never taken this long for me to receive something. You got to tell me what's wrong. I mean, that's just being persistent. He didn't accept no as the answer. Come on. And so he said, one day you were preaching, and actually, I don't remember a lot of stuff that I've done. People say, do you remember praying for me back in 1981? No, I don't. But occasionally, something I do remember, and I remember this. He said, you were just preaching along. He said, you walked over to the left side. This was on our other building. He said, you walked over to the left side of the church. That's where he was sitting. He said, you were just preaching. He said, you stopped and said, did you know that if you're critical of preachers, you won't receive your healing? And then he said, you went back to preaching. He said, when you said that, he said, I went, uh-oh. He said, I've been critical of preachers. He said, I'd hear preachers on the radio and just criticize them, be critical. He said, I repented right then when you said that, I repented and told God, I'm sorry, I'll judge myself. This is a digest of what he's told the Lord. I'll stop that. So I asked him, I said, Well, when did your healing manifest? He said, right then. He said, before the service was over, before we left, I was healed. Amen. Well, have you know, God wasn't withholding. He had to fix something. And how many know, sometimes we got to be a little persistent in prayer to pray through some things. You say, well, don't we just pray once and that's it? Well, not every time. Sometimes you got to move some stuff. The old Pentecost used to talk about this. I've prayed through. What'd that mean? It did not mean they finally talked God into keeping His word.
No.
It just meant there are some forces. How many know we got forces arrayed against us? The Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in heavenly places. Now, I want to tell you something about that. Now, a lot of times we word of faith people, we've been taught well, but some things we've been taught, we haven't balanced everything out with what the rest of the Scripture says. You know, I said, we've kind of become favorite word people. Come on. I mean, it's the truth. I'm honest about it. I've had to adjust some things and say, well, wait a minute. I know this is what, you know, we can have our own doctrines and beliefs just like any other church can. Are you with me this morning? I'm not here to offend, but I'm just saying, we take the whole counsel of God. I mean, there's even a brother, and, you know, he's been around. He's a good brother. You know, I don't personally know him. But he's been around for years. He's been a great word of faith preacher. But, I mean, you know, his philosophy is anything bad that happened, you know, that we consider to be bad, it was the devil and not God. He even says it's the devil that rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Bible says the Lord did it.
That's right.
He was, and I'm not named, so I'm not criticized, but I'm just making the point. How many are with me? He was preaching one day. I was listening to him. I like him, you know. And, you know, you have to spit some sticks out now if you're going to preach that kind of stuff. He was preaching on, you know, that, you know, when God told Samuel, or excuse me, King Saul to go destroy the Amalekites, he said that was really the devil that did that. I said, well, you need to read the rest of the chapter. If what you believe is right, he got in trouble for disobeying the devil. Let's read all the verses, everybody. Let's don't just read the part we think fits our theology. Let's let the Word make our theology. Amen? Don't build the Word around your theology. Build your theology around the Word. Believe it all. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not faint. He said, because, you know, he said, let me tell you a story. He told about the unjust judge. He said, but that isn't God. God's not an unjust judge. He will do things speedily for you. But sometimes we got to pray and get ourselves in position. That's what the old Pentecost meant when he talked about praying through. He talked about praying through obstacles, demonic forces that's trying to hold it back. Or maybe you got to pray long enough to change you, like our brother did, that was part of our church, who's now a pastor. He had to pray long enough, pray through, till he finally heard God say, talk to him. He asked God, tell me what's wrong. And God told him through his pastor exactly what's wrong. I didn't know I was talking to him, but the Holy Ghost knew who I was talking to. I do remember because I just thought that was weird. I'm just preaching on something, just stop and say, you know, if you criticize pastors, you won't receive your healing. Okay, back to the sermon. I'm like, I had enough sense to know that God said that to somebody. I don't know who. And then it was sometime later. It might have been months or years later before he told me that story. He said, Pastor, that was me. And I got healed in that service. Well, how many know? You had to change. God wasn't being an unjust judge. He wasn't withholding. He would have done that for you months ago. Amen. Well, and now that doesn't mean, now let me say this, that doesn't mean when, because I've got things I'm standing for physically. It doesn't mean I'm doing anything wrong, but I'll tell you, I'm open to hear if I am. But I do know I've got a devil, I've got an adversary that's fighting against me. We wrestle not, all right? So you can say, well, I just rebuke that and it goes away. But have you know, it doesn't always just immediately go away. Sometimes you've got to do a little bit of warfare With wrestling, you just don't, you know, what kind of wrestling match would it be if you just went in there and slammed them down, one, two, three? Wrestling, I mean, they're going to be a struggle. And this isn't, well, maybe it is. I started to say, this isn't, we used to call it championship wrestling. I remember those days. Remember we had that around Tojo Yotamoto? Remember him? Jared, he'd throw salt in your eyes, you know. Oh, yeah, he was a dirty dog, man. He'd get you, you know. And then who was it? Jerry the King, Lawler, Lance Brown, the guy that called it and all that. You know, don't get mad at me. Don't leave the church. Those are fixed. Look at Travis. He's so shocked. I blew his. Now he doesn't have anything to watch this afternoon. Now, how many of you, we knew that, right? You didn't know that? They are. You know, Brother Jerry Savelle told a story one time. His uncle was a professional wrestler, championship wrestler. And so he went to his uncle, asked him, do you want to go to a match with me? He said, well, sure. What little boy wouldn't? He was a little boy at the time. Who wouldn't? So he says, we go there. He said, I was so disappointed. The guy he was going to rip his arm off and beat him with the bloody end, they're in the back playing cards together and friends and talking about when they're going to get together and do a barbecue. He said, I was so disappointed to find out it was fake. So I started to say that this, our struggle with the devil isn't championship wrestling, but in some ways maybe it is because it's already fixed who's going to win. Hallelujah. All we got to do is just show up and just keep showing up. And so Jesus said, God's not like this unjust judge. That's not who he is. He's ready to do it speedily. Amen. All right, go to Luke 11. Let's go there. We're close, so let's go by there, Luke 11. I want to read this scripture to you. Jesus' disciples are having a conversation. He's teaching them. And he said to them in Luke 11, in verse 1, it came to pass that as he, that's Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, wouldn't that be something to have Jesus teach you to pray? Well, we do, don't we? Because we have what he told them. Now, we'll skip this part where what we call the Lord's Prayer. There's a lot of teaching in that, a lot of revelation. I don't think he just meant for us to pray that verbatim, although you can do that, but there's principles in there. And like our Father, we got to come realizing we're going to our Father. Amen. Not just to God, but to our Father. This is intimacy, see. But verse 5, he continues teaching, and he said, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? And shall say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves for a friend of mine. And his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to thee. I say unto him, though he will not rise and give him because of he's his friend. So he's not going to get up because of his friendship, see. The guy shows up at midnight. He knocks on the door. He wants the guy to get up. The guy says, I, my kids are in bed. I don't want to get these crumb crunchers up. And he says, I'm not going to get up. And even if you are my friend, I'm not going to do this for you. I'm not going to do this for you. But notice it says, verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of the King James uses the word importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, how many know Jesus is teaching on prayer, isn't he? I said, isn't he? So he uses the King James word importunity. Modern translations will say persistence. Listen, that word means different things. It means persistence. In other words, the guy's not going away. All right. So the guy knocks. He says, go away. But the guy is going to keep knocking. How many know you go to somebody's door, you just don't go. You go. And then they don't answer. You go. Then you go. Then you go.
You know, I was running my fist through the glass.
Have me understand, this is what we're saying. Jesus is saying, look, the guy didn't want to get up, but because of this guy's importunity, he got up because he knew he's not going away. Well, the word importunity, you know, like the New King James uses the word persistence because it does mean persistence. He just stuck with it. It also means, and I'll explain this to you, it also means impudence. Now, impudence is, you know, you've heard about a person being impudent, right? It means they're overly bold, they're cocky, they're brazen, they're rude. Now, of course, God is not telling us to be that way in prayer towards Him. Let me understand that. You approach God with what? Reverence. What else? Humility. Yes. But you also approach Him with confidence and with faith and with a sense of belonging, right? So He isn't talking like we're going to demand, God, I demand you do that. Look, Matt, don't stand close to me when you do that. All right. I don't want God missing. Make sure He gets you. No, help me understand. That's what He's talking about, is that we know something belongs to us and we're going to be impudent about it, that we're going to have that. Not, and once again, we back up. God's not the withholder. He's not doing that. There's other things. Do you believe that if the devil, like Paul said to the Thessalonians, he says, well, we would have come to you once again, but the devil had hindered us. You think if he hindered Paul, he could hinder you? I believe so. But notice he didn't say he stopped us. He hindered us. Sure, he'll try to put up roadblocks. He'll try to fight it. But that's where importunity comes in. Amen? That's where persistence comes in. We're not taking no for the answer. That's not the answer. The answer, all the promises of God, remember where we started? All the promises of God are what? Yes, and amen, or so be it. So when we hear no, we didn't hear it from God. A pastor said, this was so funny. The pastor who was preaching on prayer, he said, I was preaching on prayer in my church, and this teenage girl comes up to me, and she says, Pastor, she said, when I pray, I get one of three answers. God says yes, God says no, or He says, you've got to be kidding. Well, how many know that you've got to be kidding, and the no was not a promise you were praying about? Because the promises are yes and amen to the glory of God. By us, by happening in our lives, see. In other words, what does he mean? They're to the glory of God by us. In other words, it gives glory to God when promises are manifested in our life. We have an opportunity to give glory to God by promises being manifested. But sometimes, I don't understand it all. I wish I did. You know, we used to sing a song when we all get to heaven, you know, talking about how we'll talk it over by and by. Well, did you know, even Paul said, we see through a glass darkly, dimly. We don't see everything. We don't know everything. Amen. Somebody says, I know everything there is to know about God. Mark them off as goofy. A granola Christian. Fruit flakes and nuts. Mark them off. Because God he hasn't even told us everything about Himself yet. Paul said that which may be known of God in Romans. That means we don't know everything yet. We see through a glass darkly, but one day we're going to see face to face. And the Bible says, then we'll know as we are known. So I don't know why sometimes things take long. I don't know what holds things up, but I do know what Jesus told me to do about it. He said, just stick with it. Just be persistent. Just stay with it. Because the promise is amen. And God isn't the unjust judge. He avenges His own speedily. Right? See, I believe this. This is just my belief on it. I think I can prove it from the Scripture if I want to take time to do it. But I believe when we pray for something that's according to the will of God, remember John said it, if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And if He hears us, we know we have the petitions we've desired of Him. What things soever desire when you pray, believe that you will, you what? You receive them and you will what? You will have them. Doesn't mean you'll have them either, but it says you shall have them. I believe this. I believe that when we pray, it's automatically released from heaven. But sometimes our persistence is what gets it manifested in this natural realm. God does His part. Everyone that asks receives. Is that a Bible verse? Yeah, Matthew 7. Everyone that asks receives. So that's not a lie. If we ask according to His will, I believe He releases it. But sometimes, just like, you know, like back in the Old Testament, and when Daniel prayed, and it was 21 days before the angel showed up, and he said, I was sent the day you prayed. But the prince, talking about a demonic prince of Persia, withstood me 21 days. See, there was demonic warfare. You know, Satan's angels and God's angels. How many know there's spirits of sickness and disease? How many know that? Didn't Jesus cast out a spirit of infirmity out of a lady? It was a demon causing sickness, wasn't it? So it just makes sense to me that angels could bring the provisions of God. Right? They're messengers. They're sent to minister on behalf of those who are heirs of salvation. Well, what are they doing? Changing the oil on your truck, mowing your yard? I wish. You paid for an oil change lately? I'd rather have an angel do it. No, they're doing things. They're helping you. The heirs of what? They're helping you in your salvation. And that might include them doing things in the natural, like bringing finances in and so forth. Amen. You know, I've told this story several times, but a minister I know, he's in heaven. You know, people go there after a while. How many know that? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, but he needed $300,000 for his church. And what he had done was he had bought a warehouse on contract, and he had turned it into a church, made it a nice church. But the contract said, on such and such a date, you have to pay the thing off or I get it back. All right? But that was the only way he could get it. Banks wouldn't loan him money, so he got it that way. It was about 9 months, and he owed $300,000 on that building. And the thing of it was, is this was years ago, and $300,000 would probably be like about $2 million or more today, or maybe more than that. So it was an astronomical amount. So he was preaching. He said, I was preaching in this meeting with another minister, and he said it was a morning service. And he said, I told him, I said, look, I need to just, this was weighing on him. He said, I need to stay here and pray about this. You go take the morning meeting, and, you know, and I'm just going to stay in the hotel room and pray about this because this is coming up. And, you know, he said, I'm praying. He said, I felt like somebody come in the room, and I trust this minister. I don't trust everybody's stories, but I trust his stories. He said, I turned around. He said, there stood two angels. And he said, they had like armor on and like nicks in their armor, like they'd been in warfare. And he said, I looked at them, and they didn't say anything. And he said, first I didn't say anything. And he said, finally I said, what is it that you want? And they said, we've come to straighten your finances out. And he said, then they didn't say anything. And he said, I said, well, what are you waiting on? And they said, now this is what this one of the angels said to him. They said, we're waiting on the word command. Isn't that scriptural? They hearken unto the voice of God's word. That's what this angel told him. Said, we're waiting on the word command. He said, well, in the name of Jesus, this may not be exact what he said, but something like, in the name of Jesus, my God meets my needs according to his riches and glory. He said, when I said that, they disappeared. They were gone. He said 9 months later, a guy came to his church in a jogging suit. He said, I was having a special meeting on a Friday night. And he said, I see this guy in the back. He's in a jogging suit, you know. That's normal today. It wasn't in those days. We dressed up for church, you know. He said, I see him in his jogging suit. And he said, after the service, he wants to talk to me. And he says this to him. He said, I was jogging by your church, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I don't go to your church. He said, I've been to your church before. He said, I don't like your church.
He said, matter of fact, I don't like you. He said, now before you judge that, wait till we hear what the guy did. He said, the guy said to him, he said, but the Lord spoke to him. He was a businessman. He said, the Lord spoke to me and told me to give your church some money. He gave, now remember, he needs $300,000. He gave him a check for $150,000. I don't care if that guy doesn't like my church or like me. I love him. Yeah. You don't have to like me or love me to give me $150,000. I'll love you back. I'll just love you. Well, he said, that's half of it. But he said, you know, this is Friday. It's due on Monday. And the thing of it is, the guy that owns the building's not going. He doesn't want to have any mercy now. He wants it back because this guy's fixed it up. It's worth a lot more money. So he's hoping he doesn't come up with the money because he wants it. So he said, you know, I'm in my office on Monday morning. I got a lawyer over there with me, lawyer for our church, and we're just trying to figure out there's loopholes in this contract, you know. He said, my church secretary calls my office and said, there's somebody who wants to see you here. He said, I don't want to see anybody right now. She said, well, I really think you ought to see this guy. He said, well, I'll come down. So he came down. It was that same guy. He said, you know what? He said, the Lord told me to give you some more. And it was another $150,000. Angels. See, I said angels. Well, they went out and influenced this guy. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, didn't he? You know, we're led by the Holy Ghost, but, you know, I was up preaching. Some of you may remember this. This was in our very beginning days. I was up preaching one Sunday morning, and I heard this voice behind me, not in me. The Holy Ghost lives in me. Angels don't live in me. But I heard this voice. I'm on the platform. This is the honest truth. I remember it plainly. I'm on the honest truth. I'm telling you the honest truth. I'm just preaching. I'm on the platform, and I hear this voice, take up an offering for that couple right out there. And he pointed out, showed me this couple out there, take up an offering for them. Well, I don't know that they need anything, and I don't hardly ever have done that, but I told the church, I said, hey, there's somebody here who got a need. Let's take up an offering for them. And people gave, you know. And, you know, it was counted, given to me. Some come back in my office, and I said, well, you know, here's what I've got. They said, well, Pastor, let me tell you this first. On the way to church, we were praying, my wife and I, and we got a need. And it was a desperate need. I don't remember what it was about. But it said, we needed $400. And we were praying, asking God on the way to church, Lord, to supply this $400. And you know, this was some years ago, $400 a lot harder to come by in those days. And so the offering that was given to them was $400. Wow. Now, you don't think that didn't mark that couple? That they knew God heard them and God cared. And like he provides for the birds, he'll provide for you. Sure, it marked that couple. I mean, it's marked me. I'm like, man, I'm glad I listened to that. You know, I've tried to reason it out. You know, I'm like, nah, well, we don't need to do that. I don't know. Maybe I'll send somebody to investigate, see if they need some money. How many of you just need to obey, right? Amen. Hallelujah. So, here we are. Look at this. We're getting ready to close. Did you get anything this morning? Amen. Look at this. Verse 9. Let's read verse 8 again. He said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity he'll rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Now, if you look at this in the Greek tense, the Amplified Bible gets it right, but you look at it in the Greek tense, it says, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, and it'll be opened unto you. That's the way the Amplified Bible puts it. And you go back, if you understand the Greek, which I don't, I have to read what other people know about it. But when you read the Greek, the tense of it, it gives the connotation that it's like you're persistent. Well, that's just what Jesus was talking about. Now, let me say it again. You got to understand this or you'll get in unbelief. Jesus gave us the faith part. When you pray, believe, you receive. Jesus said, well, things serve your desire in prayer. Praying, believing, you will receive. He gave us the faith part. We're not praying. We're not persistent.
We're not seeking. We're not knocking. We're not asking, trying to talk God into doing things. But we're maybe doing warfare in the spirit. We're like that widow woman that woman that went to that judge. We won't take no for the answer. You got to understand, God's not with the whole. We're not trying to. If you get into the place you're trying to talk God into doing something, you're in error. Right. You're in unbelief. Right. But if you won't let go of that promise, that's faith. Right. You remember the Bible says it tells us about. I got to stop. But it tells us about Elijah praying. You know, he went up to Mount Carmel and threw himself on the ground. And the Bible doesn't say he was praying. It said he put his head between his knees. Remember that? Yeah. But we know what he was doing because James tells us what he's doing. He said Elijah prayed earnestly that it might rain. Might not rain, and it didn't rain. Then he prayed earnestly again that it would rain, and it rained. So James told us what Elijah was doing when he put his head between his knees. He's praying. Said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So he's praying. Listen now, he's praying, and he sends his servant out to the sea to see if something's happened. And his servant comes back, man, nothing yet. He prayed some more, said, go back. See, he's not going to give up. He sent the servant, comes back, said, well, nothing yet. He did that seven times. And on the seventh time, the servant comes back, said, well, there is a cloud out there. It's about the size of a man's hand. You know how little a cloud that is? You told Ahab there was an abundance of rain coming, and it isn't coming out of that cloud. He said, you get yourself and you go tell Ahab he better get going because it's going to rain. I mean, that was persistent faith. In other words, he knew what should happen. God's not withholding, but he's going to stay with it until it manifests. Now, you can handle this however you want to, but I've just learned in my life, just stay with it, brother, till it manifests. There's sometimes I've prayed things and one prayer and it's done. There's other times I had to go back at it and say, no, this thing's going to manifest. However I want to, you know, however it's going to happen. Amen. I may not see the manifestation now, but I'm going to see the manifestation. And I just do like that. I do like what I do what Jesus said. I don't do what brother so-and-so said. Is anybody listening to me? I've been taught different on some things, but I don't do what they say anymore. I do what Jesus said. I don't do what we were traditionally taught in the Word of Faith sometimes. I do what Jesus said. I'm a Word of Faith guy. But I check everything by the Word of Faith. The author of the book. And I learn. This works for me. Sometimes I'll pray on something and then never talk about it again. I forget all about it. But I bring it back up. Yeah, what do you mean to bring it back? Well, I'm going to stay with it till it manifests. I may just bring it up by just thanking you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, I prayed about that. Thank you for it. Praise God. Glory to God. I got it. Hallelujah. Give you praise and thanksgiving. But then I may need to do a little bit more praying through the thing, you know. Amen. Like our friend. I asked him if I could use this story. So I'm not picking out a turn. He told me, he said, you know, it wasn't when it wasn't happening. And I went to God and said, all right, Lord, what's wrong here? Why aren't I being healed? And the Lord said, well, didn't say anything to him. But later on, he gave me his answer. It's good to go to church. Because I'm not bragging on myself, but every pastor that's listening to God is a messenger from God for Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning. Yeah, I want to hear from God. Come Sunday morning. I'll give you a message from God. See what I'm saying? See, God gives us, he speaks to us. And I've had that happen. I couldn't count the times where I've just preached long and I'll just say something. I think I'm on a bunny trail and someone will say to me, man, I was just praying about that. Well, there was your answer. See, God, sometimes, and I'm guilty of this too, sometimes I want to pray and ask God and I'll get quiet and listen. I want God to speak to my spirit and tell me something. And sometimes he does. But sometimes, you know what I hear? Nothing. But if I let him ask, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask in faith and it will be what? See, this man asked for wisdom, even though he didn't hear it directly from God, he got it from the Holy Ghost through his pastor. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be like the person you got a word of knowledge and you say, you know, somebody here, you know, they've got, they got a growth on their left hand on the lower part of their pinky, you know, and God wants to heal you, and you got a growth on the lower part of your pinky on the left hand, and you're saying, I wonder if it could be me. I've met people like that, and they're walking around free. Oh, yeah. I mean, hallelujah. I hope you got something this morning. I hope I didn't offend your theology, but I'll stick with Jesus. No, not trying to talk God into doing anything. I'm not even, He's already done it. But the Bible says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Don't just start good, finish. Amen. Jesus talked about it. He said there'll be some that will start good but not finish. He said they received the word with joy, but when persecution and affliction came, they got offended. They started good. I've watched that in races. I've told you that before many times. I used to be a runner. I know you can't tell it now, but I'm working on getting back in shape. I'm not going to run again. I'm doing other things. A little bit less stressful. On your older body that's strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But He also gave you a brain. If you play football with old men, what will it do to you, Jill? It turns you into an old man. So I don't do some of the things I used to do and that's one of the things I don't do anymore. But I used to be a runner, loved running. Ran races, not, you know, distance races. I wasn't fast. But I watched that many times. People that are inexperienced start too strong. Say the number one reason why people don't finish the Boston Marathon is because it used to start with going downhill and they'd run all out and they'd burn themselves out. One time my granddaughters and I don't know if they'd remember this, but it was a race out there, and there was a Catholic church having this race. Remember that? I don't remember, St. Wendell or something like that. And we ran that race, and they ran it with me. You know, one of them was training, the other one's running every other Thursday. I keep getting on her, saying, you got to do something besides every other Thursday. You know, you got to, you know. And so we get out there, and of course, she's the one that had problems. Her side's hurting her. She's moaning and groaning. We're waiting on her. Get moving here, girl. She did finish second place in her division. So we pushed her pretty good. But I remember when we started that race, people started going by us, and they got a little nervous, you know. Matter of fact, one guy, it sounded like he was on an oxygen machine. He was wheezing. He passed us. That really made him nervous. Because if this guy's going to die any minute. But see, I had a little experience about me. I said, "Don't worry about it, girls. We'll pass them all back. They're going too fast. You got it. This isn't a 100-yard dash we're running here." And sure enough, one by one, we went all the way around them. Amen. And we stayed for the medals, the awards. And I don't know if they both won one, but one of them got second place in her division. So I said, we didn't do too bad. Gramps knows a little bit about running. Next time, train. Don't discount because you're young. You can just do all this stuff. See, that's the way it is. People got to know the Christian life. Sometimes it's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. Receiving from God is not sometimes a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. You better stand up because I got another sermon. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.